Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King Yudhishthir, the super soul in every body gives intelligence to the individual soul according to his capacity of understanding. Therefore, the super soul is the chief within the body. The super soul is manifested in the individual soul according to the individual's comparative development of knowledge, austerity, penance, and so on. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, it is said, Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his localized aspect, gives intelligence to the individual soul as far as he is able to grasp it. Therefore, we find the individual soul in different high and low positions. A living entity with the body of a bird or beast cannot take instructions from the Supreme Soul as adequately as an advanced human being. Thus, there are gradations of bodily forms. In the human society, the perfect Brahmana is supposed to be the most advanced in spiritual consciousness, and further advanced than the Brahmana is the Vaishnava. Therefore, the best persons are Vaishnavas and Vishnu. When charity is to be given, one should take instructions from the Bhagavad Gita 17.20. Data yam iti yad dhanam diyate anupkarine desha kala cha patre cha tad dhanam satvikam smrataham. The gift which is given out of duty at the proper time and place to a worthy person and without expectation of return is considered to be charity in the mode of goodness. One should give charity to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, for thus Supreme Personality of Godhead will be worshipped. In this connection, Sri Madhvacharya comments, Brahmadi satavarana teshu na visesho harer kvachit vyakti matra visheshena taratamya vadanti cha. Beginning from Brahma down to the ant, everyone is conducted by the super soul. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati. But because of a particular person's advancement in spiritual consciousness, he is considered to be important. Therefore, the Brahmana Vaishnava is important, and above all, the super soul, the supreme, the personality of Godhead, is the most important personality. Om ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swam Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in this chapter entitled The Ideal Family Life, which is a conversation between Sage Narada and Yudhishthir Maharaj, wherein every different aspects of the responsibilities of married life is beautifully explained. Married life is one of the predominating ashram in the society. And to the extent the householders practice their dharma of household life in a proper way, to that extent, Krishna consciousness is nicely manifested to the world at large, because they are the people who are in direct touch with the society. So a full section, or rather a full chapter of the Bhagavatam is dedicated to describing ideal family life. I mean, if you understand what is Bhagavatam, it was a scripture spoken to Parikshit Maharaj by Sukhdev Goswami, and he had only 7 days. It was not an open-ended class. It was a closed-ended class. Just like we have a schedule that we have to end at a fixed number of time every day for Bhagavatam. Similarly, Sukhdev Goswami had to end because in 7 days, Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die. So he knew that he had only 7 days, and this was the seventh canto, which would be the third or the fourth day, if not more. It was close to the time of the curse. But still, because he knew that this scripture is going to be the guidebook for the human race for the rest of eternity, a whole chapter is dedicated to ideal family life and how important it is to understand ideal family life, not only by those who are householders, but also the renounced order, many of you who are sitting here, so that they can guide the householders in executing their responsibilities in a proper way. So here in this particular verse, it is explained that the super soul is there, and based on the person's knowledge, austerity and penance, the super soul can guide the spirit soul in accordingly, and based on the guidance, based on the evolved nature of the spirit soul, the spirit soul can manifest a particular quality. And explain that to birds and beasts, the super soul can't guide them because of their low or the low nature of the spirit. So even though spirit soul is same, 1/10,000 at the tip of the hair, the size doesn't change. But based on the evolved nature of the spirit soul, the super soul can guide and manifest those qualities in the spirit soul. Just like we understand a child, you know, who is based on the age, maybe 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, based on the evolved nature of his body, his intelligence, he or she will understand certain aspects. You cannot teach high level of trigonometry to a child who is just learning 1 + 1 = 2. You cannot teach something high to somebody who is not having the evolved understanding to grasp this knowledge. Similarly, Prabhupada explains as he's explaining this verse, that Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are the most evolved. The most evolved of the humankind is the Brahmanas, as higher than understanding. And higher than a Brahmana is the Vaishnava. And that's why he's saying, Prabhupada is bringing up the point about charity. That's why charity should be given to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. So just while we have or the people who are on the higher level of understanding, or people who are in the leadership position, they have certain rights that come. But along with rights comes serious responsibility. Right? Like, for example, as we grow, what happens as we are growing in our age? There's an increase of responsibility. As children, there's much less responsibility. As we grow, we take more and more responsibility in our life, and that is the nature of anything that is growing, that we take more and more responsibility. So if the Brahmana and Vaishnavas are on the higher level as far as the human society is concerned, and they have the right to accept donations and, you know, charity, as explained by Prabhupada, then along with the right, along with the facility to be qualified to accept charity, there's also responsibility. There's also the way that they're supposed to behave. Because many times what happens is we are very, very happy to be found qualified to receive something. But along with receiving something comes the duty of responsible behavior. So as Vaishnavas, we have to understand that there is a great need to behave in a sensitive way. I was just analyzing that suppose you are working in a very, very small organization. There are no much specific rules in organization when it is small. You can come on whatever time, you can go whatever time. But as you join a larger organization, there are much more specific rules. There's a fixed time that you need to come, you need to punch your time card, you need to be there for some time. So there's fixed rules which govern a more evolved organization, is it not? Similarly, we must understand that we as devotees, as Vaishnavas of part of the Hare Krishna movement, we are not some part of a small spiritual organization which is doing some spirituality. We are part of a very, very great, long traditional Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. And because we are having the access or the facility to understand the most evolved understanding of God. If you understand, God can be understood in so many levels. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And there are many religions which teach God, you should be fearful of God. You know, fear is the beginning of love, as they say. So the many religions who teach that you should be fearful of God. God is somebody who is having this rod, and if you don't behave properly, he'll strike the rod, and because of that, if you don't want to be struck by the rod, the wrath of God, you should be fearful. And as we go higher and higher in the understanding of God, we come to the understanding of Krishna in Vrindavan, where Krishna is fearful of the rod of Mother Yashoda. Right? So this is a most evolved understanding of Godhead, where Krishna in Vrindavan is so much subservient to the devotees in Vrindavan. So if we have the access to the most evolved understanding of Godhead in the form of Krishna in Vrindavan, that doesn't come just like that. With the evolved understanding or the access to this understanding comes the responsible behavior. With every evolved philosophy that we have, with every evolved facility that we have responsibility. So bhakti means relationship, and relationship means dealings, is it not? So if you are following the bhakti cult, if you are following the bhakti marg, which is nothing but bhakti to Krishna, bhakti means relationships, and relationship means dealings with each other. So how we deal with each other is a very, very important principle of Krishna consciousness. So while we are discussing this aspect of Vaishnavas being the most evolved type of human beings, and we feel very happy that we are Vaishnavas, but along with that comes a responsible behavior of being very sensitive in the dealings with each other. So here it is explained that as Vaishnava Grihasthas, Prabhupada says one of the important duties is to give in charity. Ideal family life, and one of the very, very important qualities of family life is to give in charity. Charity is such an important dharma that there are so many stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam which are dedicated to showing the importance of charity for the Grihasthas. Because the nature is that Grihasthas, they tend to get attached. Everybody tends to get attached. Not just the Grihasthas. Everybody has by nature the desire to get attached to sense gratification. Krishna bhulya jiva bhoga vancha kare nikatiya mayasthane jhapatiya dhare. By nature, the jiva soul is wanting sense gratification. But our nature, our duty is to get detached from sense gratification and get attached to Krishna. And so while the Grihastha, which is actually a very, very, apparently a very attaching ashram. The Shastra explained that, the dangers of living with the opposite sex. The Shastra explains the dangers of earning money. And here is the ashram where you are staying with your husband or wife. You're earning money. Kanchan and Kamini. We know the dangers of wealth and women or the men as in case of women. But here in the Grihastha ashram, We are doing both. The Grihastha is earning wealth, is staying with his husband or wife, and still expected to be detached. It's not very easy, but not very difficult also, if we have a clear understanding on how to live an ideal family life.
And that is why a very, very important aspect of Grihastha life is charity. What happens when you give charity? The nature is that when we earn something or when we have something, we naturally want to get attached to it. And the way to get detached is voluntarily to give it up. So we have the case of Maharaj Shibi, for example. He was a great king, powerful, big kingdom that he had. He was a responsible king, a devotee king. And here comes that pigeon in his kingdom. And pigeon says, please give me shelter. You are a king, you are supposed to give me shelter. And then following the pigeon comes the hawk. And the hawk says, you need to give me my share of my food also. I am your citizen also. So then as he understood that yes, the hawk is going to eat the pigeon, and pigeon is asking for being saved from the hawk. So what does he do? He naturally gives himself. He said, okay, if you want the flesh of this pigeon, I will give the same amount of flesh from my body to you, the hawk, so that you are satisfied. So he starts cutting flesh from his own body, puts the pigeon on one side and starts putting this flesh from his own body on the other side. Not without even a thought. And then of course we know the story that he practically stands himself because it was not getting leveled. And then we understand he was being tested to show the world the wonderful qualities of an ideal king, ideal grihastha, who had to give himself in charity to protect somebody else. Maharaj Rantidev, another very amazing story. He's sitting to break his fast, and one by one the chandala comes, the people, person with dogs come, a brahmana comes, and his food is what, everything is finished. He gives in charity because he wanted to just see the welfare of others. So this is the important way to really balance our life, to earn wealth, but yet remain detached. There's a beautiful story in the life of Shripad Madhvacharya, Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. There's a beautiful story in the life of Shripad Ramanujacharya, who is a great powerful acharya from the Sri Sampradaya. And here this very, very amazing devotee of the name Dhanurdas. Dhanurdas, earlier, once Ramanujacharya was going on his palanquin from one place to another place, and he found a very, very strange scene. There was this man who was holding an umbrella and just focused on a woman to make sure that he's holding the umbrella properly over this woman, so she doesn't get tormented by the heat of the sun. And he was completely oblivious of what's happening around, of what people are talking about him. He was simply focused on protecting this lady, and everybody was laughing at him. It was a scene on the street. Can you imagine? You know, somebody just, you know, oblivious of everything, walking with umbrella behind this lady, and Ramanujacharya passes. And he said, what is wrong with this man? And he felt compassion for this person. I said, he's really attached. Really, I mean, sometimes you attach, but you don't show attachment in public. But this man was so damn attached that he was quite shameless in showing his attachment to this lady. So Ramanujacharya just called him out of compassion. He said, please call this man. And this Dhanurdas was a huge, powerful wrestler. He was a big, well-bodied person. He called him. He said, you know, I saw you shamelessly walking on the street like this, you know, taking, you know, holding an umbrella over this lady. What's wrong? He said, Shripad Ramanujacharya, the eyes of this lady are so beautiful. They are the most beautiful things in the whole creation. And I'm so attached to these eyes, so well-formed eyes. You know, almost like lotus petals, as he was explaining. So I'm so attached to it. Ramanujacharya said, oh my God, the guy really needs some special mercy. Special mercy, because, you know, he's going to be in trouble otherwise. So he said, so you are a worshipper of beauty, isn't it? He said, yes. Because this man was actually a worshipper of beauty. And this lady was actually very beautiful. He said, if I show you something more beautiful than this, somebody's eyes being more beautiful than this lady, will you start worshipping that personality? He said, I guarantee you I'll worship that personality, but I doubt you will find anybody more beautiful than this lady. He was convinced. I said, okay, come to meet me tomorrow early morning at 4 o'clock. And we'll go together and I will show you somebody more beautiful than this. I said, fine. But he said, I doubt. But because you are a great sadhu and a great religious leader, I will listen to you. I'll come there. He came early morning. And Ramanujacharya took him to this very, very special place, protected by 7 walls, protected by this powerful serpent, Anantashesh. And he went to the sanctum sanctorium of the Sri Rangam temple. And as you know, in South India, the temples, they don't have any lights. They are not even, in the early morning, they don't even light the lamps with ghee. There are no ghee lamps also. The way you need to have darshan of the Lord is, you take a ghee lamp and you show it personally. And then, so Ramanujacharya, by his own mercy and his own compassion, was showing the darshan to this Dhanurdas. And he took this lamp and he first took it to the lotus feet, as we are supposed to have darshan, lotus feet to the waist. And then he put the flame in front of the Lord's eyes. And for those who have seen, have darshan of Sri Ranganath Swami in Sri Rangam, he's sleeping in a beautiful posture, Anantashesh, beautiful big lotus eyes, beautiful darshan. And when Sri Dhanurdas saw, he was mesmerized, he was captivated. He said, this cannot be anything more beautiful than this. And it is not that he saw it, because spiritual master gives Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya, that he anoints the eyes of the disciple with the salve of love. And when that Gurudev anoints the eyes with salve of love, then you can actually see Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. When he anoints your eyes with the salve of love, you can actually see the Lord. Otherwise you cannot see. You can see but not see. And the deities will stand in front of you, but you still see as a statue. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Pratima nahi tumi shakshat Vrajendra Nandana. You are not a stone, you are not a Pratima. You are not just a statue, you are shakshat Vrajendra Nandana. Similarly, Ramanujacharya put so much love and compassion in the heart of this Dhanurdas, and by his own loving hand showed the form of this Ranganath Swami. He became a great devotee of Ranganath. He became a great devotee of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya said, now that you are attached to this lady, you should marry her and live like a first class Grihastha. Which he did. And Ramanujacharya was a rich man, and this lady was also rich. So they were having a lot of wealth, and Ramanujacharya was so loving. Not because this disciple of his, Dhanurdas, had a lot of wealth. Because such a devoted Grihastha, so much in a mood of helping the mission of his spiritual master, and by giving it charity, by helping in whatever way he can, as a Grihastha has described in this chapter. What happened over the years, because Ramanujacharya was so favorably disposed to this disciple of his who was a Grihastha, the brahmacharis in the ashram became very envious. They said, what is this Gurudev? Is there something wrong with Gurudev? He's giving so much mercy to this Grihastha. After all, we are renounced people. We have given up everything. And we are staying with so much renunciation. We just have 2 sets of dhotis and kurtas. We have a small locker and nothing to our name. And this Dhanurdas, see the type of wealth. See his wife wearing all these bangles and all these earrings and all this jewelry. And why is Guru Maharaj? Maybe something is wrong. And we should expose this person in front of Guru Maharaj. You know, they're hoping that something is wrong and hoping that he's exposed. Ramanujacharya felt, he saw, because Gurudev knows the heart of everybody. He saw that something wrong was happening in the heart of the brahmacharis. So he called the brahmacharis, the leaders, the temple commander and temple president, the brahmachari leaders. He said, you come. He said, you know, you go. I'm going to call Dhanurdas to meet me. And while he's away, I'm going to call him in the little late night. And while he's away, his wife will be sleeping. You steal all the jewelry from her hands and everything from her body. And I want to see whether he's really attached to this jewelry. And Brahmacharya, when he heard this, he said, Jai, this is wonderful. At last Guru Maharaj he's realizing the truth, that how he's so attached, and very soon he'll be exposed and he'll show his mercy. Because when spiritual master gives a lot of mercy to one disciple, even though we are not supposed to feel envious, we do feel envious, is it not? I said, why is he getting the mercy and why I'm not getting the mercy? We are not in the mood of celebrating other's success, but we're in the mood of, you know, finding the faults and put the person down. That is neophyte understanding. So they went. And Ramacharya called Dhanurdas. And Dhanurdas was saying, oh my God, Gurudev is calling me so late. There must be something serious. So he went to meet spiritual master. In the meantime, all the brahmacharis, they slowly entered the house. And the lady was sleeping on one side. She was sleeping. And then very carefully, because for them it was a very important mission. So they were very focused in doing it right. So removed the bangle one by one. And removed the earring from one side slowly. And this lady turned. And they got scared. My God, she's going to be awake. So they ran away. In the meantime, Dhanurdas came to Ramacharya. And Ramacharya gave some work to him. He said, tomorrow when you get up, please do this work. Dhanurdas said, but Maharaj, Gurudev, you could have called me this late. He said, no, I just wanted to meet. It is urgent. So I just thought before I forget, I should tell you this. He said, fine. So he went. And Ramacharya told his Brahmacharya disciples that you stay back. And see what is the reaction of Dhanurdas when he realizes there is a theft and his wife will be stolen off. And you report to me. And Brahmacharya knew that this guy is going to be, he's going to freak out once he sees there was a theft and, he's going to really. So they were observing from behind the curtain. They're standing and observing. And Dhanurdas came and he said, his wife immediately. So Dhanurdas, there's something wrong in the Guru's ashram. There seems to be some acute money shortage. I said, why are you saying this? I said, because while you were away, the brahmacharis came to our house and they were stealing my jewelry. And I remained still so that they could steal the jewelry from one side, and I wanted to turn so that they could steal from the other side. And while I turned, they ran away because they were scared that I would be awake. So Dhanurdas got very angry with her. He said, you foolish lady, don't you know how to turn properly? You should have turned so nicely that they could have taken all the other jewelry from you. You are such a dumb fool. So useless you are. I mean, what is the use of all this wealth if you can't use it for this guru's mission? And in the meantime, while the brahmacharis were away, Ramanujacharya in the ashram, he exchanged all the kopins and all the dhotis of all the brahmacharis. And he put this sign here and this, all the loincloths, he exchanged. And then the brahmacharis were shocked at the reaction of Dhanurdas. They said, my God, just see this man. He's chastising his wife for not turning properly so that we couldn't steal. This is amazing. And when they reached the ashram, they wanted to meet Ramanujacharya. And they said, it was night time. They said, we'll take bath and then we meet spiritual master. So as they went to take their bath, they saw everything was haywire. Every brahmachari, you have their lines, and you have the fixed line that here will be the line of Sachikishore, here will be the line of Sutapa, and this, everything should be, but they saw somebody else's dhoti here, and they started fighting, this is my kopin, this is my dhoti. And Ramanujacharya came, I said, what is this chaos happening in the ashram? I said, they said, somebody has exchanged all over, and we are just trying to figure out where is what. I said, but why this huge sound? Why are you fighting? I said, you brahmacharis, nothing against the brahmacharis, please. This story is not to put anybody down, but in this story, he said, you brahmacharis, you have nothing to, you hardly have any wealth to be attached to, and still what a little you are so attached to and fighting just for your loincloths and your dhotis. But what was the reaction of Dhanurdas? Tell me. I said, Guru Maharaj, he's so detached. He's so in the mood of giving. They were chastising his wife for not turning properly, so that we could steal the other side of the jewelry. I said, so you see, have you got the realization why I'm so favorably disposed to this Grihastha disciple of mine? This is ideal Grihastha life, he said. From that time on, there was a wonderful relationship of respect between the Grihasthas and Brahmacharis. Both of them respecting each other. The Grihasthas respecting the Brahmacharis for their renunciation, and the Brahmacharis respecting the Grihasthas for their detachment in spite of the possible attachment they could have in family life. So this is a classical example of the importance of charity. That the Grihastha ashram is not meant to really enjoy sense gratification, as we see in this case of this very special devotee Dhanurdas. And many times the Grihasthas ask, yes, I understand we are supposed to give in charity, but how much to give? Because we are worshipping Krishna, and Krishna is such an amazing God, such a unique God, such a different God. So he doesn't see how much you give. He sees how much you hold back. So while your one hand is giving, Krishna is not seeing that hand which is giving. He's seeing behind your hand how much you're holding it back. That's Krishna. Amazing God. Some of you feel very happy. I'm putting 100 pounds in the hundi. See Krishna, you see, I'm putting it. But Krishna is not going to see there. He said, what is in your pocket? I want to see that. And that 1,000 pounds lying in your pocket. And Krishna is saying, what about that? So many times Grihasthas have this difficulty, how much to give? You know, and sometimes we make this, I think we have a board outside, patrons and Mahapatrons, and they give X amount. That's good that they are giving. Definitely very, very appreciable that they are giving. But the right amount, the balancing act is very, very important. The balancing means there's only one point to balance. Right? If you have to balance this paper, is there many points? There's only one point this paper will get balanced. Is it not? There's one point. If I take even little here, it will fall down. Is it not? So balancing act is an act which is, at one point you have to find which balances, whether it is our spiritual life versus material life, whether it is any activities in spiritual life. Every activity requires balancing. Similarly, married life, and there's balancing required, and how much to give and how much to keep for your security is an important balance. So what is the right amount? I asked this question to one of the spiritual leaders, and he said, if suppose you are earning 1,000 pounds, so maybe giving 50 pounds will not be so much of a problem. It's easy to give, just put it in a month. And giving 70 pounds is fine. 100 pounds, it pinches you. No, it's too much. And when it just starts pinching you, that is the right amount. Not too much, not too less. When it just begins to pinch you, when it pinches you too much, that is too much. You know, you should not get into anxiety. That will lead to anxiety. When you give too less, that means, you know, you're not really felt the pinch of the charity. When it just starts pinching you, that is the right charity. So Krishna consciousness is all about charity. And you will find such amazing examples if you go to this beautiful temple at Bagh Bazar, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There's a whole specific place dedicated to his disciple who helped, I forget his name, who helped build this temple. A very, very rich Grihastha disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta. Same thing at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the place of Yogapeet. Before we enter the place of Yogapeet, on the left hand side is this Samadhi Mandir of this Grihastha disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur who gave all his wealth to build this temple for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Similarly, we have in our own case examples of great devotees like Amrish Prabhu, who promised Prabhupada to build this special temple in Sridham Mayapur, and is giving a good portion of his wealth to build this beautiful Adbhuta Mandir in Sridham Mayapur. So these are the examples of some amazing Grihasthas who shown by the example the great importance of charity. And it's not that when we read all the stories of Rantidev or Maharaj Shibi that we hear the story and we say, oh, wonderful, so nice, Rantidev Maharaj ki jai, Shibi Maharaj ki jai. But when we hear the stories, we need to actually learn to put this into a practice. And the greatest charity is the charity of knowledge. And that is what all of you are doing. Whether as Grihasthas, Brahmacharis, giving money is very, very important. But giving knowledge is more important. Today is also the very, very important day of the disappearance of Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan. This is also the appearance of Ganga Mata Goswamini and also Sri Ganga Puja. So if you permit for a few minutes, it would be very auspicious to discuss the glories of this very, very important Acharya in our Sampradaya and what contribution he made to the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan. Very, very important. This was in the 17th century when our Sampradaya was in a major threat. There's a long, beautiful story of Baladev Vidyabhushan, but since we're running out of time, we'll just tell one of the important parts. In the 17th century, as we know, Madhavendra Puri was the one who established the worship of Srimati Radharani next to Krishna. There was no worship of Radharani happening before Madhavendra Puri. Madan Puri was the one who really brought the Radha Tattva in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. I mean, in the Sampradaya, which in due course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was present. So in the 17th century, after the power acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others, that the Tattvavadis, they started, and the Sri Vaishnavas, they started questioning that the Gaudiya Sampradaya is not a bona fide Sampradaya. Can you imagine this? After Mahaprabhu Chaitanya established the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Sampradaya was questioned that it in its bona fideness, that it is not a bona fide Sampradaya because it does not have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And as far as we understand, that the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra is the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no need to write a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. That's why there was no commentary written by any of our acharyas till that day. Because there is no need, because the natural commentary is Srimad Bhagavatam. But they said that if a Sampradaya has to be bona fide, it must have a bona fide commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. The Madhva Sampradaya had, the Kumar Sampradaya had, the Sri Sampradaya had. But the Gaudiya Sampradaya did not have a commentary. And they said that they spoke to the king of Jaipur. And he said that you cannot have this worship of Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, worshipped by the Gaudiyas, because they are not bona fide Sampradayas. We should be worshipping them. And you should remove Radharani next to Govinda and Gopinath. Because there is no mention of Radharani in any scripture. And the king, even though he was initiated in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, he could not refute it. Because there was no Shastric Praman to the commentary as well as to the mention of Srimati Radharani. So he was very sad. And he sent a message to Vrindavan that please do something. But at the same time he had to remove. Can you imagine if one fine day you had to remove Srimati Radharani from the altar? You don't see Radharani. Will Krishna be ever happy without Radharani? That's our strong understanding. But there was a situation where the Govind, the worshipful deity of Rupa Goswami, Gopinath, the worshipful deity of Shamananda Pandit, there was no Radharani next to the deity. They had to remove it. So the message came to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was very old at that time. He was the very guardian of the Gaudiya Sampradaya at that time. He was very old. He said, please do something. We must write a commentary. And the Sri Vaishnava said, you have to get the commentary in few days. To write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, it takes years. It takes years. You cannot have a commentary, and there was no commentary present. You have to actually write it from scratch. And that was the requirement to prove Gaudiya Sampradaya's bona fideness. Just like we had recent situation in Russia. They were saying that this Gita is not bona fide. You should ban the Gita. Because it teaches whatever. So it was banned. And it was such a serious thing, that means the whole society will be banned in due course. If Gita is banned, then this society is based on the Gita, that means the society is useless, is unbonafide. And therefore the whole world worked towards it, and there we made sure that they didn't ban the Gita. Similarly, a situation where the whole Sampradaya was going to be banned. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur called in for his, not a disciple, but his Siksha disciple, Baldev Vidyabhushan, who was a young man, and said, I'm very old. I can't go to this place in Jaipur called Galtar. That's where this debate took place. You go and represent the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And he went there and said, if you are representing, then you need to get a commentary. He came back to Vrindavan. He said, what do I do? He sat in front of his deity, which also was Govinda Dev deity. I said, my dear Lord, what do devotees do when they're in helpless situation? They just turn to the Lord. He said, what do we do now? Your Sampradaya is at threat. Now it is up to you. It is up to you to really do something. Then Govinda Dev spoke. The deity spoke. Because deities are not just statues, as we said, they are personalities. He said, my dear Baldev Vidyabhushan, I am going to dictate to you a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. You simply write. As I dictate, you simply write. You become a scribe, you keep on writing. And Baldev Vidyabhushan was amazed. He said, who is this? This deity is speaking. And the deity started speaking the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Beautiful commentary coming right from the mouth of the deity. And Baldev Vidyabhushan started writing. And in few days, the whole commentary on the Vedanta Sutra was ready. And Baldev Vidyabhushan called it the Govinda Bhashya. Something which was spoken by Govinda Dev. He took this commentary, went to Jaipur. He said, here is the commentary. They were shocked. How can you have a commentary in such few days? They ran to the commentary. I said, this is the most evolved understanding, the most deep commentary that somebody has ever read. What can be better commentary than written by the Lord himself? Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeha Chaham. That I am the comparer of the Vedas. To the Vedas am I supposed to be known? And when the Lord personally speaks knowledge like Gita, what can be a better scripture than that? When they read it, they just proclaimed that yes, Gaudiya Sampradaya is the most bona fide Sampradaya. We have just cut the whole story short. But it was established. And Srimati Radharani, in a most ceremonial way, what God got back and installed in next to see Krishna. And then the deity, Baldev Vidyabhushan, as a reciprocation to the deity, is that the deity which spoke the knowledge, said deity will not be just called Govindev. It will be called Radha Vijay Govinda. And if you go to Radha Gokulana temple in Vrindavan, many of you must have been, the deity is still there. The deity which spoke, and the deity is known as the victorious Govinda, because he gave victory to the Sampradaya. That was the great contribution of Shripad Baldev Vidyabhushan. And that's why he said Vidyabhushan. He got this title Vidyabhushan because of this great service. His name was Baldev. He got this title Baldev Vidyabhushan because of this great service that he rendered to the Sampradaya. It's also the day of Ganga Puja, which is actually the day of appearance of Mother Ganga on this earth planet. That's the day she descended and touched the earth planet. And we all know the glories of Mother Ganga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to be born on the banks of Mother Ganga and perform unlimited beautiful pastimes in Mother Ganga. We don't have time to discuss, but let us celebrate these wonderful days, the whole day we meditate upon them. And then we thank these great acharyas for protecting. Because if it was not for Baldev Vidyabhushan, we would have not had a bona fide Gaudiya Sampradaya today. We would not be part of this illustrious Gaudiya Sampradaya. So that should be our meditation. And this verse also teaches us the importance of charity in the Grihastha Ashram. So this is a small thing that I wanted to share with you today. I thank you all very much for giving this opportunity to speak. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.